Experimenting with isometrics. Pat O'Shea at the University of Oregon was experimenting with isometrics, kind of a takeoff and what Hoffman did with the isometric rack. Now, what people don't want to realize or don't remember is at the same time the U.S. athletes in this isometric rack were training, that's when they were also beginning to take Dianabol. So who knows what was really producing the results there. Now, the Russians studied that. The Russians never invented anything, but they perfected many things. And they looked at these isometrics and went, it really doesn't produce the result that they say it does. So they got into dynamic isometrics, where they would move at high velocity into an isometric. And then they would do that at many different positions. Now, when I was laying in the hospital and couldn't move, and all I could do was read, I read this and said, wow, how about if we just start, at my terminology, in extreme position, what would happen? And that's where all these cool things really started to take effect. If you're at anything less than the greatest joint angle, the results are minimal at best, and my system is no better than anyone else in the world. It's no worse, but it's no better. The secret being in position at the greatest joint angle. That produces the results. Now the ARP, imagine putting the ARP on, being able to contract a muscle or muscle groups at 500 times per second while being in this iso-extreme greatest joint angle position. So Beanie, we use it while we're training, during rest periods, before training, when they go home. It's used to facilitate super compensatory effects on many different levels, each session, each day, whatever it is you want to look at, depending upon the result that we're looking for. We don't just train somebody for velocity. We evaluate first whether we can enhance velocity. If not, then maybe we have to enhance starting strength. And what I found in 30 years' experience is that everyone can enhance starting strength. And if you enhance starting strength, you just made somebody much better on the field of play.
I tell you what, it's amazing listening to all this because, you know, I probably, if anyone on the line, probably been studying this the longest besides, of course, you, Jay. And it's still, to me, is very, I'm still like, wow, this stuff, I've got a lot to learn, you know?
It's almost too simple, Chris. It's just almost too simple.
Yeah. Jay, this is Aaron. Could I get you to explain for everybody what you mean by the greatest joint angle by maybe by way of an example?
Sure. I'll use push-up. How's that?
Good.
Okay.
So you're going to be elevated on handles, on boxes, on chairs, on crates, whatever it is you have available. You're in a push-up position with your hands on this apparatus, whatever it is. You're going to take a deep breath in, forcefully exhale. Then you're going to pull yourself down to the lowest position possible so that your chest will be below the level of the handles, the crates, the chairs, the boxes, whatever it is. And your lower arm must be perpendicular to the ground, your elbows at 45 degrees from your body, your head in line with your body, and no grip in the air.
Hello?
What's going on there?
I hear something going, but...
Yeah. Okay. So you'll pull down to the lowest position possible. Then you'll again take 3 deep breaths and pull lower. Then you'll again take 3 deep breaths and pull lower. Now, some of you may be well-read and go, well, Jay, that sounds like STIs, shutdown threshold isometrics. Well, you see, in STIs, they rely upon gravity. We do not rely upon gravity. What we do is we use the muscles that are opposite of the ones we want to work, which are pectorals, anterior deltoids, triceps. So we pull ourselves down into position, initiating this eccentrically elongated position of the muscles we desire to work. Now, the greatest joint angle is the angle of the shoulders. And you hold that position. again, my 30 years of research found that 5 minutes was the optimal amount of time. At 3 minutes, you begin to see results. Anything less than three, and you see absolutely nothing. At 3 minutes, you begin to see results. At 4 minutes, they're almost unbelievable, and at 5 minutes, they are unbelievable. Anything greater than 5 minutes produces results that are just minimally better. Okay, so that's the greatest joint angle, and you can do it. We do it on squats. As an example of what you can get to, Adam would load the bar up to 150 kilos, 331 pounds. Lowered himself down, he would be standing on benches. He would lower himself down until there was a great angle between his knee and his hip. There was a huge downward angle. He would hold that position with 330 pounds for 5 minutes. Then he'd have to come back up. He also would hold 350 to 400 pounds on his chest for 30 minutes in a bench press position with a cambered bar. And it only counted as if he completed the rep at the end of that 30 minutes. Now, some amazing things take place at the greatest joint angle that don't take place anywhere else within an isometric. And I know all of you probably know a lot more about isometrics than I do, but we'll suffice it and simply say that you tend to strengthen the position you're in when you do an isometric. Now, at the greatest joint angle, the first cool thing that happens is the whole range of motion increases proportionately in strength. The second thing that's kind of amazing that takes place is hyperplasia. And I don't know if you believe in that or you don't believe in that, but there are many, many, many cells just lying dormant in our body. They're waiting to be stressed at a level that's totally unbelievable to our minds. And when they are stressed, they come into play and they'll form myotubes and myofibers and become muscles. And you become denser without becoming larger. Again, if you remember, one of the philosophies of this system is the smallest, most powerful athlete always wins. So we're looking for thickness, for density, connective tissue strength, something that no one has asked about and very few people really train in their programs. The third thing that happens that's really cool and amazing is that the contractions that take place to hold you in position are at a high velocity, the same as if you were moving at max velocity. The next thing that takes place is they're fed energetically the same as if you were out there running at max speed. Now, any of you who are coaches or for our triathlete, I think it is Travis, is that your name, Travis?
Yeah, Travis probably had to leave. I would imagine he's probably already gone. He had a class to go to. But
we're looking to move at high velocity on a regular basis and feed it energetically. Let's just say for any of you who train anybody where you might utilize a sprint of any sort, if you're going to do 10 sprints of whatever distance, how many of those do you really think the athlete or potential athlete is performing at max speed? One, maybe two, would you agree?
Yeah, not very
maybe.
Many.
Not very
what
many.
What they're probably doing is planning how hard it's going to be so they make sure they can survive until the end.
Absolutely, Coach. Absolutely. Now, imagine if you could do sprints at max velocity for 5 minutes. Holy smoke. Let me use a lunge as an example. You get down into a lunge. With the front leg, lower leg is perpendicular, and the ball, you're on the ball of the foot. Now, the heel does not have to be off the ground. People interpret it as that, but it doesn't have to be. It just cannot be affixed to the ground. Okay, it has to be able to be moved. You pull into the ground with the hamstring of that leg. You eccentrically lengthen the hip flexor of the back leg, upper body erect, arms as if you were running. So if your right leg's forward, left arm is forward. Okay? Because we all know that tricep on left side stimulates hamstring on right side. Because that's what we do when we walk, when we run, when we move. We cross crawl. So we utilize the upper torso to stimulate the lower torso to be able to hold us in position longer. Now, Chris or anyone else who's done this exercise, once you get past 30 seconds or so, what do people do? Well, they move their arms around, they roll their head, they rub their leg. Something, because the brain has lost the ability to get information back to it, telling it where all these body parts are, so it sends a signal to something so I can find you again. Where if you actually use the muscles correctly, you'll be able to hold this position, and the information will be going to the brain and away from the brain, efferent and afferent signals, on a regular basis during this whole time. It'll also understand that it has to contract at a high velocity, because there are only two ways to get faster in this world, and that is to train at overspeed, 1 to 3%, or to train extremely slow. And what is an iso extreme at the greatest joint angle? It's an extremely slow movement. Now, again, what we do different than STI is we don't rely upon gravity to pull us down. Because STI is awesome. And it's been around, it's been around since 1951, 52. Okay? And it took, what's his name? Who's the Russian guy? Pavel. You know, to bring it to some level of popularity. And he didn't take it far enough. Because if that's all you do, you end up causing muscles to concentrically contract, which causes localized inflammation, causes muscles to shut down, nerves to shut down, organs to shut down eventually, and accelerates the death process. We die at a much faster rate. Yeah, it might only be 2 hours faster than what we normally would die, but who the heck as an athlete wants to accelerate the death process? So we pull ourselves into position the same as it's done when you're running, the same as it's done when you're hitting a softball, the same as it's done when you put a wrestling hold on someone and go to take them to the mat, the same as it's done kicking a football, throwing an implement of any kind. Okay? Those are really cool things that iso extremes at the greatest joint angle does that very few people ever even consider. All they do is look at how the hell hard it is to do it. And they'll hold in any position and say, well, I've mastered it. And if you're not using the right muscles, you're not in the right position, it is completely worthless. It's kind of a cruel thing. God gave us all these wonderful things and amazing things to utilize to produce performance of whatever sort. Yet, on the other hand, if we don't use it correctly, it can destroy us. It accelerates our death process. So it's kind of a cruel joke. You have to live on that edge every moment of every day. And that's where the greatest performances come. They don't come in people resting and recovering and taking a couple days off so they're ready to go. That's just for their weak mentality. That's all they need that for. We're capable of it over and over and over and over. Humans are amazing. Now, what they found testing with the Omega Wave on iso extremes was that you could do this for 5 minutes, 5, 6, 7 times a day with no degradation in Omega Wave potential. It actually raised potential the more you did it. Nothing else other than acupuncture did that. Now, there's one more thing that does it, and that's the ARP, because the training and the ARP are exactly the same. Exactly. But the ARP can do it at 500 times per second.
So, Jay, let's say you were training a power hitter. So when you're talking about an iso extreme with an implement, if I'm following you correctly, so what would you do with a hitter? Would you put them at the point of contact and then do some type of iso extreme?
Not at all. I think maybe I misstated something, or I didn't state it, or you're misunderstanding.
Okay.
You never, ever, ever train someone to be a softball player. Or a football player. We train them to be a human, for the muscles to move the way they're supposed to move and do the job they're supposed to do. When you get into the game of training a power hitter in a power hitting position, where that might be you're going to be utilizing muscles that are not meant to do the job you're asking them to do. And because we're so freaking awesome as humans, muscles will take on that job. But eventually it rears its ugly head. And that's the point where we call overtraining or burnout or all these other things that we've talked about briefly. Okay? That's the point when that occurs. We train them to be humans and move the way humans are supposed to. So if I was training a power hitter, I wouldn't train them any different than I train a swimmer or I train a decathlete. I have a gentleman, and I won't mention his name, plays in the NFL, plays for the Chicago Bears, 6'6", 331 pounds. I also train his brother, who is a swimmer, a 100-meter flyer. And he's 6', not quite one-half inch, 188 to 194 pounds. Well, when we measure the amount of force that they're able to absorb in my little bench machine and with a V-scope, the NFL football player that's almost twice the size of his brother creates 751 pounds of force in 12/100ths of a second. The swimmer created 3,000 pounds of force in 6/1,000ths of a second. Now, who the heck do you want on your team as coaches?
Right.
Okay? The swimmer trained with iso-extreme push-up, iso-extreme lunge, iso-extreme dip, iso-extreme preacher curl, iso-extreme scapular pull-up. Nothing different than I would train the softball power hitter or the football player or the 80-year-old who's trying to get back from injury and disease. Because it teaches
so how many positions are there?
Okay. If you want to write this down, I'll give them all to you. There's iso-extreme dip, iso-extreme push-up, iso-extreme preacher curl, iso-extreme scapular pull-up, iso-extreme lunge, iso-extreme one-legged squat, iso-extreme standing hamstring. You got them.
So then within those iso-extremes, then like you said, you vary their workout depending on what you're trying to achieve, whether it's max velocity or whatever.
No, in the beginning, I don't vary it at all. Because very few people are in shape. I don't vary it or change protocols or get specific with protocols until they've mastered 5 minutes in the iso-extreme position using the correct muscles.
And so every athlete would train at each of these different positions, no matter what sport they are, is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what I'm saying. I have people who can hold an iso-extreme push-up with 150 pounds on their back for 6.5 minutes correctly. Now, if any of you want to try this, just do it yourself or get one of your athletes and put them in an iso-extreme push-up and just give them the basics like I gave to you of how to perform it. What you're going to see when they stand up is they're going to start rubbing their shoulders. They're going to start making circles with their arms, because their shoulders bother them, or they're going to extend and flex the arm because their elbow is bothering them. Those are people that didn't pull themselves into position and hold themselves at the greatest joint angle by pulling. There is no time during this 5 minutes that you relax and let gravity act upon you. You continually pull yourself into this position. So if we were going to train the shoulders, we're going to get a little advanced here. We would hold the bar on extended arms on a bench press, and we would push the bar up, and we would do that for 5 minutes. I have people who do that with 450 pounds. I have people that stand in the start of a squat position with 1,100 or 1,200 pounds for 8 or 10 minutes. Now, if that person was to wobble, the pelvis move forward or back or side to side or roll their foot to the outside or sigh and take a deep breath, then they're done. That time does not count. They have to start all over again. Holding position is holding position. There is nothing that's acceptable other than the correct position. So it is very difficult.
And Jay, you were telling me that, you know, how a lot of times that programs will have, you know, X number of exercises for chest and X number of exercises for back, and when in reality there could be one exercise for everything, for the entire upper body. Or, you know, I remember you mentioning something along that line to me. I think you were talking about a plenty row or something like that.
Let me give you all an example of what we're talking about here. And I don't know how much any of you have read about me or listened about me from other people, but I make everything plyometric. I call them rebounds and altitudes. Let's just think about a rebound. We'll just say curl, because it's easy. Everybody knows what a curl is. You're going to hold a dumbbell or a bar in a contracted position, so the bar is up near your face or the dumbbell is up near your face. You're going to release that bar or that dumbbell. At the moment you release it, you're going to use the muscles necessary to extend your arms, which are, oh, that's right, triceps. You get down as quickly as you can. At the moment that you reach the complete extended position, you're now going to use your biceps to come back up to the starting position. During that time, the bar is falling, so at some point, you're going to meet it on the way up. As soon as you meet that bar, every muscle in the upper torso or that dumbbell has to turn on proportionately the same level at the same time as the bicep is, the primary muscle being used, or if you're doing it incorrectly, anterior deltoid. Okay? Every muscle of the upper torso turns on proportionately the same and in the same amount of time. Holy frickin' smoke, folks. Let's think about if we have somebody who does a bench press and they bench 300 and they do a barbell row for the same amount of time or the same number of reps with 175 or 230 or 240 pounds. You've now created this massively huge weak link, because it's not turning on at the same amount of time. It's not turning on in the same order. It's not turning on at the same force level. It's not turning on for the same amount of time. Where when you do rebounds, every muscle in the upper torso turns on. Holy smoke, how amazing is that? Because you see, when we catch a falling load or we catch ourselves from falling, and Jay didn't make this up, it's been around for hundreds of years, okay, the body goes into a protective mode and everything turns on. All I'm doing is taking advantage of that. So we can use a 1-pound dumbbell, and it would feel to the body like a 13-pound dumbbell if it falls 6 inches. Now, what people never consider is how much force you come back up into that dumbbell or that bar with increases that. When Adam used to be able to do a rebound bench press with 315 pounds, he would hold it at the top, release it, mimic a bench press by pulling his arms down, and then accelerate back up through the bar and complete the lift. Measuring with the V-scope, he was creating almost 12,000 pounds of force. Can anyone in this world bench press 12,000?
Huh. Not that I'm aware of.
Maybe you guys have someone who can. Again, if you do, I want to meet them because I want to learn from them. Now, we would do 30, 40, 50, 60 of these per day. Imagine as coaches, if you could do 10 reps at 1,000 pounds of force even, you just did 10,000 pounds of work in a real short amount of time, and you turned on maximally. Every muscle in the upper torso, if it's an upper torso exercise or if it's a lower torso exercise, every muscle in the lower torso turns on at the same rate for the same amount of time at the same force level, at the same velocity as the primary muscle being used. So you only have to train for several minutes a day. So one of these days, you guys are going to see Jay's training system is going to be 2 to 5 minutes, 5 or 6 times a day. And that's all you're ever going to need. So you can do it on an airplane if you're traveling to a game. You can do it in the locker room. You can do it in your hotel room. You can do it in bed. It is not going to matter. Because my partner, who you read about on the website, Dennis Thompson, and I have been developing protocols to get to this level. Chris, this is the wave site thing that we're talking about.
Right.
Okay? As unbelievable as it may sound, you see, I only train with the ARP now, and I test, you know, with weights because that's where everyone wants to see it displayed. Yesterday, I went 631 max. I went 631 32. And the 32 was with 230 pounds. Okay? That is big time for NFL players, never mind some washed-up 52-year-old guy. That's what the system is about, folks. Turning on, turning off, maximally with everything the way it's supposed to be, over and over and over and over and over. And you have to take advantage of everything that God gave you in order to do this. If anything is lacking, then you're never going to reach this. And it all starts with ISO extremes at the greatest joint angle. I mean, I have people, I'm one of them, ISO extreme push-up, can put 200, 250 pounds on my back and hold there for up to 5 minutes in correct position, and then go right over to a bench press and execute a max lift. That's what athletics is about.
Hey, Jay, this is Aaron. We named this this whole seminar the world's most shocking sports training, and I think it's living up to its name.
I hope it does, and I hope I've been able to stimulate people to think and make training something that Jay Schroeder could never dream it could be, so that maybe I can learn before my days are done on this earth and learn more. That's what it's all about. We're all, I mean, if we're all stimulated to think and we all have the same end in mind to produce the greatest performance possible, then all these things are going to be the norm.
Well, you know, Jay, I can honestly say that I'm excited to be a part of this, and obviously that's why we're having the seminar, because we want to have others, you know, other coaches experience the same thing that I'm just beginning to learn how to do,
right.
And you know, obviously you know, learn from as well as from Dennis Thompson and others that you know, some of the stuff that you've taught me, and hopefully go way beyond that, you know, in years to come. So
absolutely.
Hey, Coach, this is Eddie Crocker again. Let me ask you this. After a seminar, are you going to give demonstrations of how to perform such exercises?
Coach,
is it just going to be lecture? Is it going to be demonstration and application or lecture?
Coach, you and I are going to do the exercises, and everybody who's there is going to get a chance to do every exercise.
Well, I'm sending my wife. Sounds too hard for me. Like working with them women stuff.
Give me an idea of what you can do. Okay? Now, I told you before about the grossly obese women.
Yeah.
365 pounds plus. That was, I worked for an endocrinologist, Dr. Pinamanini. He's long gone now. But he asked me to be part of this group that worked with obese women because he thought it would be really helpful and, you know, he could help these women more efficiently. Well, not only does it work for that, but you can take somebody, and a 21-inch waist is rather small on a 126-pound woman. Training like this, these 126-pound women can squat 350, 400 pounds. It's just crazy what can happen. The football player that I use the example of, whose brother is a swimmer, he trained with us for only one day because he couldn't handle it because he saw junior high kids, males and females, outlifting him. And he's this big-time NFL football player with 300-plus pounds. Okay? It's what the future really holds. This system is the future, and it's right now. And all of us are going to make it what it's supposed to be farther into the future, and we can do that now also. If we all put our heads together and all think to the same end and all use our areas of expertise and our own intelligence and our own knowledge and our own emotion to facilitate this. Because one thing I didn't tell you is that if you are going to train people like this, then you have to be just like Jay. You have to be emotionally, intellectually, psychologically, physiologically, and spiritually into every single set, every single rep for every single person every single day. People say I'm a maniac, but that's what it takes. You have to do what you're asking your athlete to do.
And that's what I'm just beginning to learn. I'm getting to that point.
There you go.
Aaron, I think we probably better wrap it up, I would imagine,
yeah,
on your end.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you what. I have been totally impressed by this. It just got me fired up. And you know, there was a whole lot of misinformation out there, Jay, and I appreciate you bringing us some truth.
Well, it's my interpretation of information. It's my 30 years of experience. My advice to all of you is never listen to just one person, but gather everything you can from each individual and then formulate your own opinions and your own philosophy and make it work, because that's all I did. I didn't make up anything. I didn't discover anything. I took information and categorized it and put it into a system that can be duplicated and replicated anywhere without me over and over and over.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I'm there, because I'm excited to find out what all this is about. Train my daughter athlete pitchers and train my wrestlers that are sons and train my wrestling team and my football players and put Homewood and the kids on top.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Now, Chris,
all right.
When is that seminar again?
It is March 1st. So if you think 2 hours is good, I mean, wait till we get 6 or 7 hours worth. That's going to really be cool. And anyway, March 1st, Pelham High School. We'll begin roughly at 9 a.m. I say roughly because the time is still to be announced, but we're planning on 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you'll know more when we get it on the website.
Fair enough.
All right.
All right. Ready, Jim?
If you are interested, let me give you my email address. It is cccp1@aol.com. Danny, I think you have more questions that you just haven't asked, because you're hinting around to a lot of things. If you'd like to ask on email, I'll be more than happy to answer your questions as well as I can and stimulate more thought for you.
Okay, and you said CCCD1?
No, P is in Paul. It's the Russian Cyrillic letters for USSR. You see, folks, I live this stuff 24 hours a day. And Chris, I think I'm bringing my wife with me to the seminar. You guys will be able to ask her, because I literally live this 24 hours a day. My kids have to live this 24 hours a day. It never, ever changes. And that's the only way to be. And you'll find out that I'm like this in real life as I am when you never get to see me. I'm a maniac. I'm crazy. I'm opinionated. And I don't vary and waver from anything I believe in my philosophy. And if there's something that one of you show me that doesn't work, then I'm going to make it work, and I'll figure out a way to make it work, because it is my philosophy. And it will not fail, because I cannot stand failure. I cannot stand to have anyone visit with me, train with me, anything that fails, because then I fail. And, you know, you're going to get plenty of hands-on work at this seminar, probably more than you want. And it'll be fun and exciting, and, again, you'll have stuff to take back with you. I will not give you a training program. I will not outline a training program, because I don't know who these people are you're going to be using on, except to say, ISO Extremes with the Greatest Joint Angle, when you master those positions, Beanie, that I listed for you, then it's time to move on.
Can you say your email address one more time? Because I was,
yes.
Phone cut out a little bit.
Charlie, CCC, Paul, P1@AOL.com.
Okay, I got it. All right, great. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, again, I want to thank everyone who's on the panel. I want to thank Jay in particular. And Jay, I will see you in about 10 days or so. And the rest of you, I hope to see you at the seminar on March 1st.
Jay, that was awesome. This is Aaron.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we do appreciate it.
No problem.
All All right.
All right.
That's it, guys. Have a good night, and we'll see you guys in March.